This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But he was down on Geno Smith.
Yeah. That surprised me a little bit. I didn't... I ran through a lot of scenarios for the... And I guess that's my fault. I should have figured, you know, Geno, Pete Carroll, maybe there's something there. Mm-hmm. I knew, you know, Geno was in line for an extension with the Seahawks. And, you know, maybe there was an opportunity to get him out of there. It wasn't the route I expected. I was very surprised when we got that message on Friday.
I think I saw this morning, Geno...
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
I think I saw this morning, Geno actually turned down an extension from the Seahawks.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. I don't think he... probably the Sam Darnold offer, I'm assuming, similar to that. Turned that down. That probably got this emotion.
I wonder if he can get a better one than that. I would have kind of put them in the same spot, to be honest. Yeah. I actually did peg Sam Darnold being a little bit higher than what it turned out to be. Mm-hmm. But not crazy higher, like a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. I'd probably slot Geno in the same spot.
It sounds about right. Like, Geno had he got some good numbers too, you know, in his time with Seattle in the last few years. I chuckled because you said when we weren't expecting that when we got that message. Well, we didn't get a message. Ken came and told us.
Yeah.
And we said, our guy, what?
Our man Ken from the Eagle like walks in right as the show goes off. Or a few minutes after the show goes off, and we're like transitioning to KSFM. He's like, hey, what'd you think about that trade? What trade? Geno Smith. Where did he get traded? The Raiders. And I'm thinking, like, okay, Ken. And like, I look down,
for sure.
And there's the tweet, like, oh. Okay. And then I think the Crosby extension came after that? Was it during the KSFM?
No, you kind of missed that one.
Okay.
Because that happened Friday morning or Thursday morning.
Oh, okay. Because I saw so what I saw during our show then was the money breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess I must have missed it that morning because I was like, oh, they got a money. I said, Crosby signed a contract. And I was, with who? The Raiders, like. Okay.
Yeah, got a little bad. But the Geno one, Ken, the breaking news, Ken, just came in and was like, hey, what you guys
Ken
think Charani about that trade?
In here giving us all, Kenny Schefter, giving us all the news.
Like, what you think about that trade? Like, what trade? Geno Smith to the Raiders? What? So, yeah, man, I don't know how to feel about that. I understand, and talking from a Raiders perspective, I understand, like, hey, you want a competent quarterback out there. And I know there's reports out there that it doesn't take them out of the running of drafting a quarterback early. So you could still get your young guy and look at him to be a potential franchise type guy. But, yeah, I don't know. Geno's cool. Like, he's cool. The thing that I thought about, though, is if you're going to sign Max Crosby to that type of money, I don't think you sign him to that type of money and as an organization and to him be like, all right, we going to get a rookie that we might win two games.
Yeah, with. I hear you.
Like, nah, you signed him to that. You're trying to maybe get into the playoffs.
Yeah, okay, let me ask you. I'm sure you saw this, but let me ask you. What would you do now if you're Las Vegas in the draft? Particularly rounds 1 through 3.
If it's Cam or Shadur, then I'm taking either one of them.
You're still taking them?
Yeah.
At, what,
Gino, Gino's not my future. Yeah, Gino probably could be here the next 3 years, but I'm going to have Cam or Shadur, whoever at this point we like, kind of learn under him, sit back for a few years, and kind of be the smart, go the smart way to do this.
And I'm sorry, they didn't sign Gino to any type of
extent. Not yet, but they're working on it. They're working towards
seems
that.
Inevitable that'll get done. And I think ultimately Kyle said Darnold's was basically, essentially it was a 2-year, $55 million deal. I could see Gino getting something similar to that where you announce a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal, but all of the money falls off.
Yeah.
After the second year.
Yeah, because I'm not against still drafting. Like, I think Cam is going to be gone, so I'm going to say Shadur. I would still draft Shadur, but if I'm working on an extension for Geno Smith, that may make me look more in that second round, maybe even third.
You can take Jackson Dart second round.
Yeah. If I'm going to have Geno for the next 3 years, I don't want to draft a quarterback in the first round.
Do you pass on the better quarterback, though, if you have the opportunity to take him in the draft, if you already know you're going to take one as well? Shadur's here, and he's better. Like, if you're the Raiders, you're assuming he's better than Jackson Dart. Like, this is the better quarterback. Why not take the best player?
Yeah, if he's to answer your question and yours as well, if Shadur's there, I'm taking Shadur. I'm taking Shadur. He'll sit for a year. Like, I don't want him to sit for – I'm not trying to Jordan Love the situation. And that's why I'm, like, nervous about signing him to an extension. If really, like, best-case scenario, if everything works the way I would want it to, you've only got a year here, Gino. And then we're handing the reins off to Shadur. So I wouldn't want to sign him to an extension knowing that. But maybe I do both. I sign him to extension, and if Shador's there at 6, I'm going to pull the trigger.
So let's go back to something you said a second ago. Let's tie this all up together. And The Athletic says the Raiders are still very much that, you know, they're not ruled out of the quarterback market. And it was kind of framed as if, you know, the guys that they have at the top of their depth chart, if they're there at that spot, they'll still make the selection. A quarterback is the selection. But to go back to what you just said a moment ago, you do the Max Crosby deal, you bring in a good quarterback in Geno Smith. Drafting another quarterback at 6, is that doing right by the Max Crosby contract? And the fact, I'm not trying to, Pete Carroll's really old. I don't care how young he acts. I don't know how. My biggest issue with the Pete Carroll signing was you're going to be looking for a new coach in a small handful of years. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's 3, maybe it's 5, and maybe you don't. Maybe the way the league is, like, thinking about having a coach for 5 to 7 years is outrageous at this point. But I wonder this. It feels like the early development of the Raiders offseason is to try to go win games as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And if you take a future project, which now it is clear it would be a future project at 6, are you doing right by Geno, Max Crosby, and Pete Carroll? Does it align?
And it doesn't feel like if with the contract and Pete Carroll and getting Geno, that taking a quarterback would be fair to those guys or the smart move or would be in line with what it seems they're trying to do. Because to me, I see all these moves and they're trying to win right away. They're trying to at the very least get to the playoffs next year. This year, they're trying to get into the playoffs. So you probably better serve taking a guy that you can play and can contribute now, whether that's an offensive lineman, a running back, another receiver or something, like that's where you should be going. And Shador is, I'm a big believer, and all this, even Cam, I'm a big believer in him as well, Cam Ward. But to a certain degree, I can go back into the young quarterback market in 2 years if I need to. You know, and that's assuming, like Jesse was talking about, maybe I go get a quarterback in the second or third round.
Maybe you assumed something last year, though, and you got left hanging with Gardner Minshew and O'Connell.
You did, but look where you're at, man. You're still, like, in a position. That was a year where you didn't get it. But here, a year later, you got a bunch of options.
Yeah, one thing, too, I think we're past doing right by Max Crosby. Max, we did right by you. We kept Antonio Pierce. Like, that's what you wanted. It didn't work. And I'm not going all in on a team led by Geno Smith, either. Like, we're not winning a Super Bowl here.
Well, you don't have to go all in, but you definitely don't. You're not trying to punt on a season.
Well, I don't think you punt. I think they're already good enough. Like, I think with Geno now and Pete Carroll, like, the defense is decent and all that. Like, you got players that you could be .500 at least. You could still fight for the playoffs, add a receiver here and there without passing on a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't pass on a quarterback. If the best quarterback on my board is there at 6 or whatever pick they have, I'm taking him. Someone brought it up in the chatty house too. Like, they signed Matt Flynn 1 year and signed Russell Wilson, and that was that. Or drafted Russell Wilson, and that was that.
But Russell Wilson was also in the third round.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a first rounder. I see your point. I see your point. I just...
Why would you pass on a... Like, 3 years from now, we're saying, like, oh, yeah, we definitely should have passed on Shador Sanders at 6 because we need to get a weapon for Geno Smith. Like, where is that getting you? I think you could plan for both.
Is it okay? Because I think we have this conversation with the Kings a lot, too. Is it okay for teams, organizations to look at it like, hey, we're just trying to get to the playoffs right now? Once we get to the playoffs, I know it's everybody's like, what are you doing to get to a championship? When we take a step, then we'll try and take that. We'll think about that step. But right now, we're trying to get to the postseason. Like, we're awful. We're trying to get to the postseason. And I wonder if that's how the Raiders feel. Like,
well, then this is cooked.
So that's what,
like,
I'm saying.
You're just cutting corners again and not really going the rebuild the right way, I guess. Like, if your goal is just, oh, we just need to get to the playoffs, then, like, what are we doing? Like, you're just going to find yourself in the same position 3 years from now?
Well, that's why I asked the question. And obviously, Jesse is like, when you're trying to do something, like, the only thought should be a championship. And I understand it. I get it.
We're building towards that.
You can still build towards that. Like, so that's the other thing that I say. You can still build towards that while looking at what's in front of you right now and say, I need to get this team to the playoffs. And then we'll, whether that's making shrewd moves or drafting somebody or trading for somebody a year or two later, we'll adjust. But today, I can't. Like, if you take Shador Sanders, this is the dilemma we talk about. That roster, I was talking about on Sports Center, they don't have no playmaker. They got Brock Bowers.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers is decent. Game. You can still work.
They ain't got no running game. They ain't got no O-line. They ain't got – Jacoby Myers is cool. But what you going – which you need some playmaker.
Counterpoint, though. What were we saying about the Chargers before the season when Harbaugh got there? Like, they were bare, like, they were running Gus Edwards and bum-knee J.K. Dobbins. And, like, they still made it work.
We thought they were going to – I thought they were going to the playoffs when Harbaugh got there because they had the coach.
My point is that you can still get a good football team out of that. I think just going for the playoffs now is short-sighted. Like, you still need to build towards something. And, like, I get Max Crosby signed his deal. Like, cool, Max, we'll draft this wide receiver so we can win 11 games, and in 3 years we're back to square one.
But you don't have to be back to square one. That's my whole thing. Like, that doesn't...
I don't think you can plan for the future, though. You can't say that, oh, I'll draft a quarterback 2 years from now. Like I said, like, last year they probably had a plan for a quarterback, and then you were trotting out AOC and Gardner Minshew. I doubt that was the plan going into that year.
Well, but the other aspect of it, though, is on the Jesse and KC show here. The other aspect of it is, and I remember doing this study a long time ago, like, there is no guarantee that your franchise quarterback's coming the first round.
Well, this is all, like, my whole point is just if they have their guy at 6, you take your guy.
But you could be dead wrong. You could be dead wrong. If we went through the list of quarterbacks right now, I think they'd be all throughout the draft, not in that first round. So you could think that you're rebuilding and getting your franchise guy, drafting Deshaun Watson in the first round, and Ooh. 3 years later, you're cooked.
Well, yeah, there's that, but like, so, that goes so. For
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Any pick.
I don't know, but the whole point of like you have to do this in the first round. No, you gotta be good at what you do. Like if you look at a guy in that second or third round that you think is a good quarterback and like, hey, Shador is cool. Shador is a 93, but I got this guy pegged at an 89 in the third round, and I can build the team around him a little bit. Maybe you go with 89.
Yeah, I guess. My whole point is, like, if your guy is there, you take your guy no matter what. I don't see taking the lesser guy on your board just because you feel like you can build around.
You're talking about a lesser quarterback?
Lesser quarterback, yes. Like, if I think Shador Sanders is better than Jackson Dart, like, just a better player overall, I'm taking Shador Sanders. Why am I going to take the lesser quarterback?
Because
I could take a wide receiver in the third, second round or whatever, and boom, Geno's got his guy there.
Because to some degree, it don't really matter how good you think Shador is if your team is garbage. Like he can be.
I don't think they're going to be garbage though. I think the Raiders would be at least 500 with Geno this year. And Pete Carroll's an all-time great coach. Like they're going to win ball games.
I'll produce this segment. I do have a take. I will give that to you. When D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. The conversation that Casey and Jesse were just having are like that's the epitome of conversations that are had, you know, with fan bases around organizations like the Las Vegas Raiders and teams that are just kind of in limbo. This Raiders team is right there. Like they're not. You have a few components where you feel like if you just make, you know, the NFL, things can turn really quickly. You add a handful of, you know, solid players in different spots. Like the football field is so big. There's so many different positions. You get a couple of, you know, key guys in spots, like you could be in a really good place. The difficult part with the Raiders is they do have a few, but they need to add, you know, they don't have running backs. Mm-hmm. They don't have wide receivers. Like you're seeing, you know, DK Metcalf on the move, Devontae Adams on the move. You're seeing wide receivers in the league on the Raiders got to get in on this action. So they either got to do it in the draft. They have skill positions that they need to, you know, acquire.
You can fill that running back need with like the sixth round pick too, I think.
Probably. Yeah, like probably, but it is a gap in your depth chart that you do need to fill. And the idea of, okay, we're going to go grab a guy like Geno Smith, does that mean we've taken a quarterback off our board? Meaning the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. But then you have some potentially generational quarterbacks in this draft, and it's like, well, if the quarterback is still there, I think we got to make that move. Right. Now you've put Geno in a tough spot, and you've eliminated the ability to cash in on another position of need.
Right. Right.
And it's where teams who are building for the future and the immediate future run into trouble. The Raiders might be trying to do a dance with both of them.
God, we're two timelines this thing? Are we the Warriors?
No, not yet. Not yet. But if draft
pull in his face.
But if draft day gets here and Shador and Cam are drafted, or one of those two are drafted to the, if the Raiders wind up with a quarterback in the first round, you might start to ask questions like, all right, and that puts Geno in a tough spot immediately. How long does Geno start? What if Geno struggles? When do they turn to the kid? When do they do this? Also, did they address the wide receiver position? They invest outside linebacker? Do they have the offensive line that is needed to protect a rookie quarterback? Like, I think these are all questions that you have to know the answer to today. You had to know the answer to on Friday when you drafted Geno. Because if, let's say, Shador is their guy, hypothetically, Shador is there at six. What are you doing?
You take him.
So you're taking him.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we spending the rest of this draft filling out that offensive line to make sure that this kid is protected? Or are we committed to not playing him?
No, that's the thing. You can build out the offensive line over the next few seasons. You have your quarterback when Geno's done.
So you took a player at six
that
you're not going to play.
I mean, the Falcons took a player at six or seven or whatever. That guy ended up almost getting them to the playoffs.
Well, they didn't get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I know, but Michael Penix was better. But my whole point is, like, Geno, I don't think the Raiders are, like, you had Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. Like, you have decent players on that team. I don't think they're bare bones right now. I mean, you can draft, and this is all, again, it doesn't have to be Shador Sanders. It's not about the name. It's about if your quarterback, your top guy on the board or whatever is, like, there, you take him and all that. Like, whoever it may be, you take him is my point. I think you can draft a receiver in the second round. I think you can draft a running back in the fifth round. Like, that's just part of the job as well. But if you think your guy of the future is there at six, you take him.
If you think so, we keep talking about the quarterback. If you have a higher rated player, a linebacker, available at you at six, but Shador's there,
it's fine. Yeah, take the best player available.
Okay.
We're centering this conversation on the quarterback. If the best player available on your board is the quarterback, take the quarterback at six.
I think I'm with you, to be honest. I think I'm with Jesse.
Like, if Casey says there's a linebacker that's above Shador, whoever the quarterback you want to throw there is above Shador, whatever, take the linebacker. That's fine. But if your best player available is there, you take him.
You just can't miss, man. Mm-hmm. You can't miss. Especially if it's a quarterback, if the quarterback is, you know, that you feel like that's your guy, you better be right. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't miss, because, you know, not many people can survive Trey Lance. Mm. Like, the 49ers really did survive one of the most catastrophic draft moves in recent history.
That's almost probably never going to happen. You saved the third pick of the draft with the last pick.
Crazy.
Right.
Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
I would, if I, like I said, I do this Madden way. If I've got Shador at 93 and I've got Jackson Dart at 88, I will take a different player at 6.
You're talking about grades?
Yes.
Okay.
I will take a different player at 6 and take Jackson Dart in the second round. Like, if the gap is that close, I'm taking that. Now, if I got Shador at 93 and I got Jackson Dart at 78, I gotta probably take the quarterback there. But if it's close enough, if we talking,
yeah, what's the plus minus?
Probably 5. I'll get definitive. I'll say seven. If there's a 7-point discrepancy or lower, then I'm willing to make that move in the second round. If it's more than that, I that's clearly the best quarterback.
You're talking Madden, that 5-point difference might be the difference between me maybe being able to hit this throw on the run rather than not.
Or because I handle my business throughout the draft, I don't need him to do that just yet. You know what I mean? I maybe because we talk about like roster building and having people around, maybe I can get away with a Brock Purdy and get to the Super Bowl because I handle business everywhere else in the draft. Brock Purdy can't make all the throws that Josh Allen can, but he does what he's supposed to do, and he gets the ball to the playmakers around him that I've created. I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong answer. It's just how you feel about going about building a team. And
if anything, you guys just learned me and Kenny's draft philosophies for the last half hour.
If I'm the Raiders, I probably wouldn't have gone and got a guy that needs to start right away and it wants an extension. Because now that makes my situation that much more difficult to manage. Because now, like you mentioned, there are questions with Shador just creeping over, you know, Geno's shoulder the entire time. And Geno talking about he wanted an extension and all this other stuff. And I still need players. I don't think talent-wise, I don't think they're as close as maybe you think they are, Jesse. They're devoid of talent in a major way on the offensive end. I said Jacoby's cool, and obviously Brock is cool, and that's all they got.
Is they win a free agency? I trust Pete in the front. Oof, I trust Pete Carroll and them just to find talent at different positions and all that. Like, it's early on. I think they'll figure that out. Mm. I think trading for Geno Smith shows like you're not expecting it to just be terrible. And like the Seahawks when Pete was around always had decent drafts and all that. So I guess I'm getting a little ahead of them, but. I think they'll be around 500 if everything goes the right way.
Also,
You give me the best, one of the best coaches of all time, and a good quarterback like that goes a long way. And you got one of the best defensive linemen, defensive ends in the sport. That's a big impact as well.
You think this is it? You think the moves that they've
not made now, it? Not now. You got to make more moves.
Okay,
finished product. Once we're done with free agency in the draft, I think Pete Carroll and them like. Of course, they're going to make them all, but I trust them to get it done. They'll be around 500. I'm not saying they'll be above. They'll be around there, I think, this season.
Raiders sign or close to deals with Jeremy Chinn, safety, and edge rusher Malcolm Kuntz.
Okay. Well, championship then. Let's go. Let's go.
So, let I'm with Jesse in the aspect. Let Pete cook. See what he can do. They need a lot of talent, though. And that's before we talk about it. Like the defense that we thought was so good, and maybe they just weren't coached well or whatever. But that they fell off a cliff like halfway through the season. That defense was
good. Well, yeah, but like if you're on the field the whole time because. AOC stinks and Minshew can't stay on the field either. Like, yeah, the demon's gonna fall off.
Yeah, so they ain't got no players to play with.
That, I mean, that's the other thing. You couldn't go into a quarterback room with Aiden O'Connell at the top of the depth chart.
No.
Like, you're letting Gardner Minshew go. I know they got another kid there. I forgot his name. You couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, draft can always be a bit unpredictable. So going Geno, like, it's fine. But they have a lot of work to do. They have a lot of work to do. Congrats to Max Crosby. I think he got the biggest defensive player money for like 12 hours until Myles Garrett signed his contract with the Cleveland Browns.
Mm.
Miles, if I could talk you out of this. Have you ever been to San Francisco? And it's less. I love Myles Garrett. I think Myles Garrett is terrific. I really just want Nick Bosa out of here.
If I'm Miles, you can try to talk me out of taking this bag all you want.
Yeah.
Where are we playing? Jupiter? Cool. Cool. I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
$40 million a year. Did I read that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hasn't been broken down all the way yet, but they said $123 million is guaranteed. Max Crosby's the deal he signed, the average annual value was like $35 million. Miles was like, oh, okay, nah. His was, as you said, 40. No trade clause in the extension. And I guess whatever he was mad about, he's not mad about anymore.
Happy.
And I'll be honest, if you want to make me happy, that'll do it.
I was going to say, you think both things can be true. Like, he wanted to win, but also if you want to make me the highest paid player of all time, yeah. Well, whatever, like, then.
Well, okay. Okay, maybe I'm not completely past it. It's De'Aaron. Like, if you made All-Pro, if you made All-NBA, you were going to stay regardless of whether Sacramento was making the right moves or not. Yeah, money changes everything.
Speaking of the Cleveland Browns, they got their quarterback. Just kidding. They traded for Kenny Pickett, though, for real. Kenny Pickett is a Cleveland Brown. You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Dorian Thompson Robinson to the Eagles.
I like him.
Oh, that's a good move for them.
Like Dorian Thompson Robinson. This.
Oh, God, Cleveland. Jesus, go ahead.
That's what I say all the time.
Yeah. that's why he hates Cleveland.
And this, in the latest chapter of what? Why are they here? In Kings games. Did you see who was here?
Will Levis, what the hell are you doing here?
Jalen Milroe.
They were here?
Like five quarterbacks.
I think they're
courtside.
Throwing t-shirts to the fans and all that, I believe.
Is there a quarterback camp or something here? Because doesn't that happen every year?
I'm not sure.
I
feel like maybe it does.
There's something or someone here.
Yeah.
Because I feel like last year, like, I feel like why was there a random group of quarterbacks here? And, like, every year it's the same thing.
Yeah. So they were at the game on got shouted out, and Scott Moak and everybody, everybody give a rounding applause for Jalen Milroe and da-da-da-da. And obviously it's always good to, like, have these moments with outsiders, because we're kind of used, like, when Favre and Chuck Liddell were there, we're like, yeah, that's what happens from time to time. Like, Drake might be here, Floyd might be, like, you never know. And Bonte was like, he was flabbergasted for 7 minutes. What?
Yeah, we're doing a let's give it up for Will Levis.
Why are they here? What are they doing here? There was like five of them. And like you said, now that you mention it, there might be, you know what I did think about? I don't think it's the case, but I was like, do they do something with Lim? You know what I mean? And obviously he's now down at Sac State too, mm-hmm. but it's like, do they work with him or something? Because I know he got his connections and stuff, but yeah, now you mentioned it. I think every
So this
year,
is AI generated. So work with me. Will Levis was in Sacramento to train with quarterbacks coach Jordan Palmer for 6 weeks, starting March 2nd.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's what artificial intelligence has told us. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but it's literally what artificial intelligence is telling us.
Oh, did you see that Twitter's AI thing got sent out? It fell for one of the NBA sent out tweets.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, what is Twitter's AI?
I think it's called, like, yeah, it's called
Is
Grok?
That the Oh, that's what okay, that's what that is.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like their little AI thing or whatever, and I guess it got sent out, like, and believed the tweet as true.
It got sent out.
That's funny.
Oh man.
Josh Allen. Josh Allen got money.
Yeah, man.
It looks like the new money average on this deal takes him to 60 per. The breakdown of this contract is not out. I always go to Florio first. He usually eliminates the BS and puts it out there. But he did say there's a $220 million cash flow in the first 4 years, which cash flow is normally the signing bonus. It's all the real money. It's the signing bonus and all of the guarantees. So 220 is incredible. That is an incredible number. Yeah. But it puts Josh Allen now at the top of that quarterback class, at the top of the quarterback category in terms of contracts. It makes the Dak Prescott one look a little like, okay, like Dak's there, but now Josh Allen is up there. Now that 60 million number is a little more, it's where the Lamars can argue for. It's where the Patrick Mahomes can argue for. Maybe at some point, you know, maybe Burrow's next contract is inching up there into the $60 million range.
Yeah, and those are the guys that should be asking for that.
And it likely solidifies Brock Purdy, in my opinion, in the $55 million range.
It balances everything back out, I think, seeing Josh get up there. And then, like I said, Lamar and Joe Burrow, I think Joe will definitely get up there.
Real quick, are you taking the annual average off of the total number, or which one are you taking that off of? Spotrac has about 55.
The new money added had him at 60. So maybe once added to his contract, it's 55. But the new money average of the deal is 60. So he has what, 2 years left or a year left?
Let me see.
Josh Allen.
Yeah,
I think he's got
so. So he's got
1 year left.
Yeah. The new money plus the old money might bring it down to 55.
Gotcha, yeah, because he's asked, but I him at 55.
Okay.
I think Brock still ends up at like 54, 55 still.
And that's fair.
You're right.
Did you see the Diana Russini, I think, report that locking for that wasn't true, the 45? I don't know if it was Russini or
someone
else.
Wait, say that again?
Someone reported, I think it was Josina Anderson and Diana Russini reported that the $45 million number we heard wasn't true.
Okay.
Maybe that makes a lot
more
sense.
I mean, good. I mean, I don't think Lockin' Four is a bad reporter. So, like,
no, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Like, if that's wrong, he's got to be sharper. But if he's wrong, good.
And
that's just too low.
And also, it's like anything else. Like, Lockin' Four from somebody trusted was probably told that. Now, it could be right, but if there is a discrepancy in it, that person that let Lockin' Four know could have just been wrong. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about this with stories. We talked about it last week. Like, yeah, you could be talking to a trusted source and somebody that, you know, you believe understands whatever it is you're talking about, and they could have just gotten that one wrong. They could just not have the accurate information. And it happens from time to time. So,
yeah, no, point was is maybe the Niners and Brock aren't as far apart as we thought the other day.
I hope so. I mean, I hope they. I'm in the camp of like, hey, man, get this job done, man. We don't need to be dragging this out and having the same issues that we've had for the last few off seasons. You know, get him what he probably deserves, you know, based on the market and everything. And let's focus on other aspects of the team at this point, you know, and other aspects of building this roster up. You should have the quarterback locked up, taken care of. It's as close to plug and play as you can get. Like, it's at the very everything that we talk, it's around 53 to 57 million. Like, that's where the negotiations should be. Just go there. Go there. Or trade him. Like, if you don't believe, but you don't need to be playing games with the guy in your roster.
Don't mind me. The last 2 minute report just came out, and I just thought it would be fun. Let's see, I'll just scan through. Correct, no call, correct call, correct, no call, correct call, correct, no call, correct, no call. Yep, nope, everything went perfect. Nope, nothing. Yep, nothing. Nothing went wrong. Correct. Nope, everything went correct. No call. Correct call. Nothing went wrong.
That is hilarious.
Kofi initiates contact with the Rosen's arm. which affects his. Oh, well, this is a different shot. Sorry.
Different foul.
That's a different foul. Where is the? Keep going. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. I'm with.
Well, goddamn it, I can't find it.
Yeah, they didn't even put it up there.
I don't think they did.
There's nothing even put up
there's
there.
There's two, because I'm 148 to one. Okay, so this is overtime. I might have scrolled. No, that's the fourth quarter.
No, there's nothing to see here.
No, no, really? No, if this is for real. Where's overtime? There it is. No.
It happened in the fourth quarter.
Quarter five.
Yeah. That happened.
Oh, that's right. Quarter. It did. It happened. Yeah, it happened with 40 seconds left.
It's good.
Is it not here?
No, probably not. Everything.
105. Right. It's not here. Yo, they really just left it out. Am I bugging? It says 105. Do I have the time marker right?
It's around 48 seconds or so. Maybe 105 sounds about right.
Okay, I thought it was 40. Replay review of the foul called on Jones pursuant to a coach's challenge was deemed successful. Jones Jr. makes incidental contact with DeRozan's hand after he released his shot and some marginal arm contact thereafter.
Oh, my God.
The ball is loose at the point of interruption, and therefore play resumes with the jump ball at center. Okay.
The other killer.
I had the time marker on that wrong. That's my bad. Sorry.
The other killer about that as well is you took the three free throws off the board, and it was a jump ball that this Clippers got, and I think – no, they didn't because he had another opportunity to put it away. I thought maybe they might have scored on that, but they didn't. So, never mind that. But you did take the 3 points off the board.
Everything's fine.
Guy who made all
they didn't get anything wrong, yeah.
He was at least going to make two of them. Worst case scenario. Mm-mm-mm.
Maybe I'm reading this report wrong. How much time was left in the game? I thought sure it was under a minute, but
it might have been.
I was obviously I'm wrong.
It might have been like 45.
That's what I thought.
It might have been 107 though, or something like that.
Well, that's a difference. All right. Well, everything's fine in the last 2 minute report, guys. Nothing went wrong last night. Officials were perfect.
Which always.
Like Curt Hennig.
Absolutely perfect.
Talk about it.
Which also, every time this comes out, every time this happens, it makes it more ridiculous, their response to LeBron James and the Lakers that time.
Sleepless nights, baby.
They're never wrong. But that time, not only did they say they were wrong, they issued an apology.
No sleepless nights on Saturday, am I right?
Yeah, second best again. Shout out to the Lakers. They even made a TV show about it.
Wow. LeBron. LeBron
they did.
Out for a week or two. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened?
He hurt his groin. Did I say it?
No,
you didn't.
No, man.
He said groin.
I said groin.
No, you didn't.
You said groin. You said groin right there.
You said it right the second time.
The first time you said groin.
I don't know.
Are you playing?
I don't know, man.
I can't tell if he's working us or not.
Is this a shoot or a work, brother?
The same way every time.
LeBron James hurt his
groin. What was that?
I feel like you said it.
He
that
said
time.
It right. It's when we try to get him to say when he knows he says it right. When he's just off the rip, he says it wrong.
If you run the first one back, that's not what you said.
I think he's working us.
I think he is too.
Yeah, I think he's working.
I think this is an absolute
way
work
every time.
It's an absolute work.
Every single time.
We'll come back. James Hamm at the top of the hour.
That game too, by the way.
What's that?
I was locked into that game.
Saturdays?
Yeah, I was watching at Polanco.
I watched that first half at the house getting ready, and I stayed away from the result and watched it when I got home.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do that. I watched the Celtics beat their ass.
Please miss me with that fake-ass comeback, too. Oh, the Lakers did. No, relax, bro. That was over. It's not a close race if you're in second place the entire time. Relax.
We'll come back. James Hamm at the top of the hour. The Kings and the Knicks tonight. Golden 1 Center. 7:30 start.
There we go. Come on now.
We got Prize Picks on the way as well. Steelo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
What?
You have the most titles. If you have the most titles in the NBA, nobody can tell you what to do.
The Boston Parsons?
Tell it what you want. Call it what you want. Punching above your weight class here.
Are you watching Celtic City? What's going on?
New episode came out this morning.
No,
they're really releasing it one by one?
Yeah, that's stupid, by the way.
What year is it?
Bill, the only people looking for this are me.
Your boy Bill is ass, man. Come on, man.
No, I'm not watching. I just know that story. I know that's where the Beat LA chant derived from. They got their ass beat by the Sixers and said, hey, do it for the conference. Beat LA. All right, bro.
Alderman J, real quick. Jesse, you were alive for two of them. Yeah, you've been alive for none.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Gosh.
Leave me alone. Yo. Leave me alone. Yo. Leave me alone.
Oh, man. He told Alderman J he can go straight to hell. Jeez.
Oh, man. That was vicious.
We were talking, but this conversation actually started as I was just talking to the chat about, like, LeBron's injury. That's a big deal. I mean, I know a week to two is far from a death sentence, but we're at a critical juncture of the season. The team was playing extraordinarily well. It's a groin injury, which, you know, similar to a hamstring. Like a week or two, he's not going to be like, oh, he's great when he comes back. Like they're going to be very aggressive in their rehab and prehab to attempt, you know, try to keep it from getting injured again, especially at this critical juncture of the season. Yeah. And now, you know, the Luka LeBron pairing has been terrific, but it's like, all right, Luka, go remind everybody who you are, because you're going to have to do a lot of things by yourself. He's been a great passer. He's been able to feed off of, you know, all of the attention LeBron James commands, but things, you know, defenses are going to change for Luka moving forward. And he's got a task, again, with a team that has been playing really, really well. He's got a task ahead of him where he's going to have to be that guy again. Yeah. And he might have to make Austin Reeves or another Laker on a nightly basis, another guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's one of those things where they were playing so well. They had such chemistry. They had built up such chemistry. You hate to see it, the momentum stunted like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Laker fan, I don't care. But you hate to see the momentum stunted like that. It was one of the things. What was going on? And that happened with the Kings. I think it was that week-long break for the in-season tournament, maybe. Oh, and they were playing well. They played like four or five good games in a row. Obviously, that's less than what the Lakers had been doing. But still, you had this momentum going, and then you had this break, or somebody gets hurt, and now you've got to readjust. And then there's going to be another adjustment possibly when they come back into the fold. So, tough for LeBron, tough for the Lakers, but he'll be all right. They'll be back.
Yeah, they're fine. Sorry?
I was saying don't cry for them, Argentina.
Oh, no, definitely no tears. But it was a team I was enjoying watching.
Like I said, I was locked into that game. Like, you had the rivalry of – it was just the basketball day. So North Carolina Duke played leading into that game. So I was watching that. You could feel the intensity of that game. And then it's like, oh, man, Lakers-Celtics is going on in Boston. Like, Lakers have been playing well. Saturday night, like I thought that was one of the recent times where this Saturday night primetime thing felt like big time.
Felt like a big deal.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was locked into it.
Until the Celtics beat that ass.
Well, they did. But at the half, it was still close.
Yeah, it was.
So I was like, damn, this at the time, I'm like, yo, this game might be epic, man. I'm going to stay away from it. I want to watch this in entirety. And then,
so
like,
you didn't see before you left the score blow up?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
So it was like a two-point game or a four-point game. My boy Tatum was hooping. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be cracking in the second half. And then I get home, put some pizza in the microwave, turn the game on, and the Celtics start the second half. It feels like on like a 17-0 run. It's like, oh, okay, this is how this game went. But then the Lakers were coming back. They were coming back, Jesse.
Yeah, they covered about – they were – about 30 feet behind Boston, and they covered it down to 10 and then end up losing.
What did it get to as close as four?
Four, I think.
Yeah.
We saw a historic stat line over the weekend from guess who? Nikola Jokic, 31 points, 21 rebounds, and 22 assists.
Wow.
That's probably the most Wilt Chamberlain number that'll get put up. Like, I know,
Better than Wilt, no?
I know Russ did the 20-20-20 once.
No.
Better than Wilt?
Well, no. I'm saying no one's ever put that stat line up, right?
No, no one's ever had. That is a first. No one's ever had a 30-20-20.
Yeah.
Wilt might have had a 57. I don't even know when they started tracking assists when Wilt was playing. And I don't know that that stat goes back to.
They might have invented the assist.
He might have. He invented basketball. He's actually Dr. Naismith Chamberlain. But yeah, a pretty dope stat line, and good for SGA. He had a nice little response against the Nuggets. Meaning, you're talking about two MVP caliber players. He dropped 40 in a Thunder win against the Denver last night.
Yeah,
did these performances do anything for MVP cases?
I don't know.
Jokic did the 30-20-20. Twitter was like, "Oh, it's his now. It's his." And then Shea comes back with the 40. I was like, "Did he get it back?"
Let's settle down, Twitter. Settle down.
It's just, it was media, it's too.
Oh, I know. They love Jokic. They love Jokic. It's SGA. He's the MVP.
I think so, too.
It feels like that's the...
He should be the MVP.
It feels like that's the plan.
Eddie Gonzalez tweeted it out, I think, the other day. It's like just someone where they're just going to have to miss out this year. Like, they're both MVP quality and all that. It's just one guy's going to have to lose.
Yeah, and...
I mean, it was Lamar and Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you weren't going to... There wasn't going to be a wrong answer with that question.
Yeah, and we're still... Talking about or not talking about guys like Giannis and Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm. Tatum's name never going to be mentioned. Tatum going to have to average 40.
Tatum is having a phenomenal season. And if you watch Boston, Jesse, you know this, that guy defends.
He'll take the top out.
He locks up.
Speaking of working, KC working us with the growing and growing and all that. Yeah.
I'd say the same thing every time.
Is Tatum working us with the bit, like stealing everyone's catchphrase? And is that a work, or is he genuinely doing that?
Genuinely awkward.
That's him.
I feel like if you put me in that situation, I'd be just as bad.
I was watching
some
a video.
Some guys aren't good with that.
I was watching like a video of the compilations last night or the night before, and it was just
I feel like Tatum is a guy, like, if you put him in a moment, like, you need to say something cool here, he's always going to just mess it up. Like,
one day.
He's not off the top of the dome type of guy.
One day, some reporter's going to ask him about Derek White, and he's going to be like, no, I see what y'all do online. Y'all call me corny. I see that.
Well, I think he sees all that, too, though. So, like, Jeff Teague talks about, like, Tatum just doesn't speak up.
Well, if Jason Tatum ever gets tired of those people in Boston, he can come out to Sacramento, and we'll help him find a spot. Our man Johnny Jennings at the Made for More Realty team will get him set. You can avoid the hassle of selling your home and get at least 3 guaranteed cash offers in 72 hours. People be rushing to sell their house so Jason Tatum could buy it.
Absolutely. He could be like my man Robert. He listed his home with Johnny Jennings and Made for More Realty in Roseville, and his house sold in days.
Mm-hmm.
Best part was he received a full price cash as his offer, man. They're always taking care of you. They're always looking out for you over my man, Johnny Jennings.
Full price cash is always a plus. They will sell your home for an average 3% higher purchase price than other realtors. They will sell your home 27% faster than other homes are on the market. That's why they're voted number one in Roseville for the past 3 years. Connect with them. Ask about their Fix It Before You List It program with no upfront cost to you. Ask about their no cost to you home warranty to protect your home while it sells. Expect more, get more with our man Johnny Jennings and the Made for More Realty team. California DRE number 01982171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home.
And check this out. When you go with my man Johnny Jennings,
we're going one into the other, huh?
I'm just saying, you got more.
Let 5 seconds pass so I can cut this for the air check.
You never know what happens when ham is around.
That's a good point.
That's what I was like, man, let me try this real quick.
Yeah.
But you save some money, you go play you some prize picks.
There you go.
I'm playing tonight, man. B-Money. B-Money's back, man. You know what happened is I didn't let everybody know about B-Money last night, and that's my bad.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? If I would have let them know about the B-Money and the lineup that I had, then maybe we would have been able to pull that win out. So that's my bad. I'm not going to make the same mistakes twice. We've got Beam Money ready to go. Zach LaVine, 22.5 points. Give me more. Karl-Anthony Towns, who's going to shoot the ball a lot, 26.5 points. Give me more on that. Keegan Murray, 1.5 three-pointers. That's a goblin. That's a goblin play. I'll take that. Jonas Valanciunas, 11 rebounds, give me more. And the streets are saying he's off the injury report and he's on Prize Picks. Malik Monk, 6 assists, give me more. I went all more on this lineup, man. So if you're trying to play, go ahead, download the app, put in the promo code KIFM, get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. That's all you got to do. Put in that promo code KIFM, and whether you win or lose, you get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. Must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. PrizePicks, run your game.
Anyone else want to get their stuff off before we continue? Manny, you want to call?
Got for ads out the way.
Manny.
Yeah, Malik Monk off the injury report.
All right.
Unfortunately, Jay Crowder's listed as questionable.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
I know it. Lower back soreness from sitting on that chair so damn long.
Yeah, back should be killing him.
Went down to tie his shoe and that was that.
Man, give my man the Larry Bird treatment or something, man. Jeez.
Yeah, man, the back should be killing him.
So that's good. Malik Monk off the Domas is out. We mentioned that earlier, but for those that missed it, Domas is still out tonight. But good that Malik Monk is off the injury report. Looks like he'll be back for the Sacramento Kings tonight. They're going to need it. This Knicks team is desperate. And they're going to have some guys who, you know, there's a lot to make up for with Jalen Brunson out of the lineup. And this is a game that it's just if you're able to get this one, if you're Sacramento, second night of a back to back, you're coming off a brutal buzzer beating loss at the hands of Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, sometimes the good thing, get back there on the floor. You got a couple of days before your next game, which is another huge game. Yeah. And it's against the Golden State Warriors. Who are playing fantastic. You know, I think they're up to like 13-2, 14-2 in the Jimmy Butler era. They have
they play the Blazers tonight.
Yeah, that was it. They have the Blazers tonight. The Clippers have the Pelicans tomorrow. So, again, anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation, but those look like winnable.
Brooklyn Brawlers, not
Yeah, that's right. The 1-2-3 kid roll up only happened once. So, I'm not really sure.
Was that his name, the 1-2-3 kid, when he came in? Or did he get that name after he beat
him? He got it. I think he was like the Lightning Kid or something.
Wasn't he like Kid Dynamite or something like that?
He was that.
I think
he was that, too.
Yeah,
I think they kept changing it. Macho Man even said on that broadcast, "What's his name this week, McMahon?" Uh-huh. Lightning Kid.
That's a good one. Uh-huh. Macho Man always wins.
He's
always
got different trunks on this time. Uh-huh. He's a kid. He's a kid of some sort. Uh-huh. What happens when James is late? We just do Macho Man impressions until he arrives. Uh-huh.
Well, look, while we wait for James, I know we don't watch. Maybe Jesse, I don't know. I saw a lot of AEW Revolution on my timeline last night.
Yeah, blood everywhere.
Turned
that
out
was crazy.
I saw it was the greatest show of all time until the main event. I guess
what was the main event?
Cage. Was that Swerve?
No, it was Moxley versus Cope.
I can't believe you said that out loud.
I can't believe I did either. Man. But I guess they had some thing where Christian.
So that was the main event, Moxley versus.
Well, yeah, but the whole plan was to have Christian Cage. I guess that's what they call him now to cash in something. It's like
they got a
contract,
sorry
money in the contract.
Yeah, they
or something.
Got a sorry little excuse for money in the bank. It's nasty.
Literally just the contract, I think. So he cashed that
and
in.
It's like on a you know the little binder fold metal binders. That
you keep it's what
in.
They gave Kenny at Morton's.
Oh,
yes,
okay,
it's exactly that.
Okay,
and they bring that to the ring and sign it.
But I think people wanted Christian Cage to win, and Moxley went over, and now they're going to do Swerve versus Moxley, and I don't know. Everyone's just pissed off again.
Just listening to you explain it wasn't interesting.
No, it's AEW. That's just what it is.
Swerve is over, though. I can't wait for him to come to WWE. People like Swerve. I like Swerve.
I was getting all sorts of clips sent to me. I was like, "Oh, this looks interesting." Oh, he pal drove him on a chair. Jesus,
there was a lot of blood though.
That broken glass joint.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
The women looked bananas.
I didn't even want to watch that.
The
clip.
Women look absolutely bananas.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.